December 22nd, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran says that you acknowledge that he is al-Rahman, but he is also Al-Rahim, and his giving, the bounties that gave you and giving you, that he also illustrated his mercy because he gave so generously, that his kindness, that his mercy, that his love, wasn't all that established before. So this is the argument of Quran saying, didn't he establish before that he loved you? Why did he have to say he had to come here in the flesh to love you? All that given before, wasn't that love? So it repeats Al-Rahman coming from mercy. The root word of Al-Rahman is mercy, and Al-Rahim, the root word is mercy. So no, there is one God, and he is both the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. And you have misjudged the God of the Old Testament in his generosity was mercy. And you claim that the second manifestation of him in the New Testament is him. No, he had that all the time. He has never been without these two mercies. These two mercies have always been with him. He has always been Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. He didn't have to come in the flesh of Jesus Christ to establish that he is Al-Rahman, and he didn't have to do it to establish he is Al-Rahim. So it is condemning this duality of God, trinity of God, really. But the duality is challenged directly that there is but one God. So the one you've misjudged in the Old Testament, you don't see his mercy. You are wrongly identifying him. He is merciful, he is generous and merciful. And the one that you claim is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ comes to redeem that which was lost, to bring it back, to restore what was lost, not just the people, but to restore the quality of life back to the people that they lost. So he is the Redeemer. And his mercy in the Bible is called redemptive mercy. Isn't this mercy and isn't it redeeming at the same time? So this meaning and the answer that we should understand. Jesus, one of the Jews God put himself in, is wrong. So he is Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim, then praise. So who are you going to praise? If you're going to say one of the Jews that God has put himself in, and he has come to the flesh of the Jews to save the world, then we are going to praise to Israel and Jesus Christ. No, praise is to God only, not the Lord of Israel, but the Lord of all the world. So here it is challenging and condemning their claim that God is their Lord to the exclusion of other people, and only other people's Lord by adaptation. So this is the Bible. I know the Bible. Don't think I don't. adopted into Judaism is not as an equal. Israel will eat the riches of the Gentiles. It says that the Jews are the only begotten of God, and others can become the children of God by adoption. Is an adopted child equal to the child who came from the parent? How is he going to have the quality of parent? There is not guaranteed that he is going to have the equality of the parent when he is adopted. And that is exactly what they are trying to say. I'm not doing this to attack this. I'm doing this to save us so we have the right understanding. I don't need to attack them. God is enough for them. He has them. Don't think he has it. He has them by the jugular vein and the umbilical cord both. Maliki Yomidin, you are claiming that you are the only begotten and he is your Lord to the exclusion of others. And you are presenting him all over again and saying he was too harsh, so a more kind face has to come. So you say this so-called son of his is a God who is kind and loving. No, you made all of these mistakes. Speak of the king of Israel, not the king of any other people. And everybody is going to have to recognize their king and bring their treasures and put them at the feet of their king. So this is the Bible. It is not going to be your king. This is going to be the only king. This God we are talking about here, who is being revealed all over again, the true identity is being revealed. So he is going to be the only king on the day of judgment. Some translation says the sole master of the day of judgment. He is going to be the master on the day of judgment or the day of religion, when religion manifests, and that is what the Quran is doing. It is manifesting religion in the true picture, and when the true picture is established, that is going to be judgment day for who? For man who presents himself as God? So man of sin in the throne of God. So we think it's going to be judgment day for the guy who sold a bag of reefer or something. That person is of no importance in the scheme of God. It is going to be judgment day for the bigger criminal than that. It is going to be the judgment day for the one who exalted himself, as the Bible says, and aspires to put himself in the very seat of God, as God. This is the Bible. He desires to put himself in the very seat of God, on the throne of God, and present himself to the world as God. Now, that is the big criminal. That the Quran is against, and it's going to be his day. Judgment day is for him and all of his followers who choose to be with him or will separate from him when he is condemned. Isn't that a clear and easy judgment? Doesn't it take all the complications out of understanding the judgment? Why should God have to intervene and come into the picture to judge if we are doing nothing but having sex unlawfully and getting drunk, taking some drugs and whatever, shooting and killing each other? Our own hearts have been created to repent those acts, but our heart can't repent the act of Satan. It is too deep and too high above our head. So God has to bring about a judgment. After we recognize the truth of his identity, then we ask for help. Now ask the right one for help. Iyaka na'abudu. We are ready to worship you now, God. We see clearly, but the innocent soul in the heart of Muhammad, the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him, could not worship that God that Israel presented. He wasn't ready to worship that God. No, indeed. But now that we see you clearly, and see you separate from the false charges made against you now. We say you alone, Iyaka, means only you. You alone do we worship, and you alone we seek for help. Then we say, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, guide us because we have been misguided by this false religion and these false claims, our Lord. So now you guide us, our God, on the straight way, the way of those you favored. You didn't favor these crooks who did this wrong thing, not those who incurred your wrath. The Old Testament is all about Jews incurring the wrath of God, even while they had a prophet living amongst them. They were rebellious against him and incurring the wrath of God. That was Moses and others too, and not those who erred and went astray. How can they err? Because they followed the Jews who themselves erred and went astray. They didn't follow their prophet. He found you wondering. Fad means right away. Boom, I mean, it didn't happen right away. So those who came into their darkness and lost the way and incorrectly are the Christians. Now, we know that more than the Christians are the darlings, but if you would be, ask the question, those who went astray in Al-Fatiha, who were they? You would first have to say the Christians. The others are minor strayers. The Christians are the major strayers. Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him himself, was straying, it said in the Quran. وَوَجِدَاكَ دُولٍ فَهَدَى وَوَجِدَا جَاكَ فَنِّي وَوَجِدَا جَاكَ دُولٍ فَهَدَى. He found you straying, and right away he guided you because you were innocent. It did not say ثُمَّ هَدَى. It said فَهَدَى. Boom, I mean, it didn't happen right away. Sad means right away. So he guided you because you were innocent. Isn't that beautiful? We had been reading that, and we never thought that it strayed, that he strayed. But it is saying all the time that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, strayed. We didn't register it. Turning to Jerusalem was worshiping Jews past glory. Turn your face to Kaaba. He was following the best of his nature, but he couldn't unlock this thing. Satan was too powerful. He strayed when he turned to Jerusalem and told the believer to follow him in prayer, facing it. He strayed then. He wasn't supposed to worship their political victory that they had, and the great day for them as a kingdom of Solomon, is commemorated in their glory. And his heart and soul couldn't bear it. So God said, we have seen you in your distress, and now we are going to turn you to a Qibla that will please you. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving us from the world. That is what he has done. Dua before eating or dressing the Last Supper. El Hadith, page 2, 123:13-17. Whenever you recite the Quran, you don't have to do this when you eat. There is a different dua for eating, only to pronounce the name of God when you eat. So that is to recall God, his name, Bismillah. And we can eat. But most of us say more than that. Some of us say the whole Al-Fatiha. And then there are other individual duas to say. I like one that says, praise be to God, pardon me. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gives us for our food and gives us that for our thirst, and who has made or caused us to come together as I like that dua because it addresses the Last Supper, when Jesus represented the Word of God personified in the world, told him to take of his flesh and that the bread was the symbol of his flesh, and to drink of his blood, and the wine was the symbol of his blood. Drink symbolizing thirst for spiritual understanding. So this is given food and bread came first, right? And then a drink. Adelahi and Tanel. Food first, was Sakina, and then drink. And then he brought us together as Muslims. So it is deep. This is a lot of meaning in that. Thirst for physical food, it is the thirst for spiritual understanding in the book. You hear the people expressing that they thirst to know, to understand. They thirst to see their Lord as he is. So this is a special hunger that is called a thirsting. Then they also went to be delivered from their cruel rulers who denied them the things of the world that God created for them to have. They take the wealth and keep them in poverty. So they also wanted to have the material too, not just the spiritual. So these are the two things. Material is associated with a science or knowledge. Spiritual is associated with a science or knowledge. So you want to carry it a little further to be at home with the real issue. Then it is not just a thirsting for personal benefit. No, it's religion, spiritual life that we have been called to or that we have in this world. It leaves us thirsting, wanting more understanding. So this is something we want to come into our spiritual teaching. So we are thirsting for what? The spiritual science, not this stuff that they gave us without guidance, rational science or social science. So this is the thirst for the spiritual sciences. And the other is the meat and also the rational sciences. One refers to the spiritual science and the other refers to the rational science. So the rational science or social science. So this is where things went bad in the religion. Those who wanted to dominate the world and keep the majority of the people ignorant so they can rule them and shortchange them and not have to worry about them, occupying them with mysteries. So what they did, they took the social science out of the religion and just gave us the spiritual science, but hid the real keys for unlocking even the spiritual science. So they separated the social and got rid of the social science, the social logic, not teaching the social logic and the social science. Crucified blood from Jesus' side is symbolic of the loss of the social science. So Jesus stabbed, then water and blood came out. They got rid of that out of the religion. So this is the sacrificing the blood in secret. So don't think of the cross as something that really happened. The cross is a revealing, hidden revelation from the average person. So they don't know what happened and don't know what it's talking about. But the shedding of the blood is the taking of the social science out from the teaching of Jesus Christ or the body and knowledge that Jesus Christ represents. So it's talking about spiritual science out of it. It is taking the spiritual science out of it. It is separating the two so they are not living together inside the body of knowledge. They are not existing and performing together inside the one body of knowledge. They are separate, spiritual on the one side, social on the other side. Isn't that just what we have in America? Come willingly or unwillingly, Jesus came by way of water and blood. We have the secular world and the social science being taught to us by the secular world and the spiritual science left with the spiritual world. Whatever, this is how it is. is a separation. Jesus didn't come to separate that. He said, I come not only of water, I come of water and blood. And what did he come for? To reconcile the two. That means bring them together in one life where they belong. Water and blood belongs in the same life. To reconcile them means there was mistakes in them, mistakes in the sciences and in the education that causes these things to be adverse, in opposition to one another. And God made them to be in agreement with one another. So he came to reconcile them. It means to bring them back into agreement, bring those two lives into agreement, the spiritual life and the social life. So when a man is searching for understanding in religion, like I have all my life almost, you don't have a social interest and a spiritual interest at odds with one another. They are working together. Social interests and my intelligence is working with my spiritual interest and my intelligence, and they both are working together. I'm not seeking to have understanding in my spiritual life only. I want to understand it in my social and my spiritual life. And I want the spiritual understanding to better my social life. That is what I want it for, so that my social life will be free and better, so they are together. Jesus came to bring them together, but the same Jesus who came to bring them together, he's crucified. And they are separate, the Gnostic order of the church. The Gnostic order of the church. Look what happened to his mission. When he came, he addressed social issues, didn't he? Not just spiritual issues. In the New Testament, the coming of Jesus is the coming of a man who addresses social issues and spiritual issues. He questioned their theology, how they understand God. He questioned their understanding of spiritual matters. But he looked at the suffering of the people, and he turned his heart towards them. And then he changed them, he charged them, pardon me, with being negligent. And he told them to care for those suffering people. So here was a man who came addressing social issues and spiritual issues, and he is morally a pure person, very just. And that was lost. And then they established the Gnostic order of the church. That order remained until El-Islam came. Only El-Islam broke them from that order. So when El-Islam came, they began to reform the church. But it wasn't until late after El-Islam that they really made a complete reformation and brought the church to be involved in the social life of people. And the first college and university established for the Western world were headed by the church, under the church. So the very church that freed the people to have these things that were denied them under the old church, the Gnostic order, had to yield to the government. It freed them. And they grew powerful, got support of the masses. Then the church had to yield to the influence and power of the government. And then they established themselves as a spiritual order and spiritual kingdom only. And the government took over the social life, political life, economic life, and everything but the spiritual. That is how they existed until now. So that is being challenged now. And the authority in the White House don't have any respect for that old language. They do what they want to do. And they are getting by with it. And they are getting the support of the preachers. I read a caption in the paper, is Bush changing things, separating of church and state? Is Bush changing that? No, Bush is just saying you got by with what you did, I'm going to get by with what I'm doing. So by in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim means with, in, and it could also mean by. They translated in ours with, or I like what God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So the praise is for God. We do not have a verb yet. The praise is for God. How is this? The praise is for God. I can't praise the brother for doing good work. Yes, you can. It did not say him. It said Alhamdulillah. You mean the praise, it has connection with scripture, problems in the scripture that came before. So this is the key. Understand that this is addressing problems in the scripture of the people who had strayed. They had gone from the right understanding. Woe when all speak well of you. So the prophet David in the Bible, he says, woe is me when everyone should praise me. Those are David's words in the Old Testament. Woe means I'm finished. All is lost for me if everybody should praise me. I was attracted to that as a young man, a little older than my son who is right here. Now, when I read that, I said to myself, any person is finished when everybody is praising them. If everybody praises you, you are no good. If you are a righteous person and a good person, you don't want anybody to praise you but good people. And if the wrong person praises you, you get suspicious of them and want to get away from them. So the Bible said, praise the Lord of Israel. So much until it established double the praise is for Israel. Clever, isn't it? Isn't that Satan clever? It says that so much that the effects of it on the soul of the innocent person trying to come to God is that Israel is to be praised. Isn't that what it says? It says he expired to put himself in the very seat of God, up in the heavens, and show himself to the world as God. So we have descriptions of God in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, an invitation for us to seek him first and seek him by his true name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means that only God, the name itself, conveys the meaning of the only God. So there is no God but that God. So the name says there is no God but that God, the God. Then we get descriptions of him as Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. And then we offer praise to him, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So the Lord of all the worlds, not the Lord of one particular world or one particular people. Then we repeat Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim because the people who are being addressed up there, they were followed by another people who said God had to repent his own works and send a redeemer to come into the world as a redeemer as Jesus Christ. No, the same one up here who is the Lord of the world, and he is really established as the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. It is repeated because he is the same one, even after Israel. And the next one is saying that not only the Jews were wrong in straying like this, but also the Christians are wrong. That is what it is saying right here. He is Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim, not through a son or anything like that. Then he is the judge. He is the one who is going to judge. Everybody, Maliki Yawm al-Din. So far, no verb yet. Iyyaka na'budu, here comes the verb. You alone do we worship. Wa iyyaka nasta'in, and you alone we seek for help. So you worship Jesus Christ, and that is how you worship God, or you ask Jesus Christ to help you. or save you, or Israel to save you. No, go. You go directly to God of all the world. You worship him, ask him to accept you, and you ask him for help. What kind of help is this? It is to ask him to ask the judge, be lenient and not give me 10 years, but give me 2, please, God. Not that it's little petty stuff. Your community will help you there. You don't need God to help you if you are innocent. Your community will help you. So this is not the kind of help that is the big help that nations need, and they have been misguided or misled to believe. They are to see it by the wrong means and the wrong light. The right light has come, and we seek that help from God to save not one person from criminals, no, save our world. So this help is to have our world saved. And nobody can save your world but God. So it says only you. We ask for help. Only you we turn to worshiping. You and only you we ask for help. So this is the big help to help save the world, to help save nations. Mustaqim goes straight up. Ihdina as-sirata mustaqim. Guide us on the straight way. So this mustaqim, does it go like the streets of Chicago or like the streets of Markham? No. It goes this way straight up. It is not necessarily a 3-lane highway. Sometimes it is just 1 lane, and you have to take another one to come down. So this is mustaqim. So what kind of help we are asking God for first? The help for our own souls and our own life. In our own bodies, that is going straight up to heaven. Why to heaven? Because the heavens up there connects us with the whole of creation. And just looking at the earth, we see just a small little speck. But when the night comes and we see the sky up there, we see the pictures of the whole universe. The universe is taking us from a local situation to a bigger situation, or a smaller situation to a much bigger situation. So it is saying evolve us, elevate us, help us ascend higher, and higher in the spirit and in the soul and in the quality of life. Up there, God, are your signs of peace and harmony, cooperation, mutual effects for existence. They work together up there to stay in perfect order. So all the great meanings we see in the heavens that we miss down here, looking at the small earth sometimes. So we want to ascend in our own matter. We want to graduate in our own matter. So we want to raise up like a plant. The Quran says, he made your existence like a plant from a seed dead, and then go upwards into more and more patterns and beauty, design, symmetry, and in worth and in production, etc. So this is the mustaqim. Be upright, be truthful, and wasn't grew into a better state and into a better form. So it's going to be made unsafe to breathe by him trying to advance his life, especially his material world. So the air is going to become unsafe. But the higher we go, to the more we get away from the bad air. And higher we go up, the more we free ourselves of his bad air, industrial man's bad air. Look at the human body. We stand here. The feet can get very smelly if you do not clean them. And you know what happens in this area grown. You have to work hard to keep it clean. And you come up here and something that which is down there comes out here and it stinks from here, from the mouth. But where the nose is, you stop there. and the body is not throwing out any trouble for us. Up here where the vision is, there is no trouble. All of the bad stuff is coming out, mostly down here in the lower regions, and some up here occasionally. But it is not too much trouble. Up here, we can take care of that. But there is no way we can stop the other. So we have a special place to go for that. Look what happened. I want you to see the world as a thinker sort of world. The thinkers who served God, who sought God, guided them to see the world long time ago, ancient time before religion as we know it now. Before there was preaching of Judaism, Christianity, preachings of Islam, there were seers who saw these things. Those people who established themselves, they used the knowledge of people who were already into those sciences before them. Then they put it into religion. See, where amongst idol pagans, who produce great things. So we destroy people greater than you. So they got a new idea of how they should relate to all that, to one God and to the one system, and that put it into a beautiful language, scripture guided by God. I'm not saying it is not revealed. God inspired them, and God revealed to them. But they had those people whose nations are called pagan idol worshippers. Amongst those people were people who had the light. They were not all pagan. That is why God allowed them to produce such great things. Many of them had great civilizations. They accomplished great things, science and civilization. And in the Quran, it is mentioned over and over again. You glorifying what you have done. Their nations have come up on this earth and have gone, and they did that, and they did the likes of your doing, and some of them had better and more than you. Seeing the world correctly will help you, will help your soul be at peace. It will help you feel good inside. So you ascend higher air. The higher you go with more, you get away from the bad air. You get pure air up there. So this mustaqim is also an ascension from the impure up into the pure, and from the darkness up to the light. So this path is a press from impurity to increase impurity, always from impurity. And an increase in understanding, a light away from darkness and ignorance, that is what this path is going up straight. And this is a path of part truth to all truth, the whole truth. The whole truth is seen in the whole universe. It cannot be seen in just the earth. So if you want to know the whole science, the whole reality, you have to have a perception of the universe, a perception of the matters connecting and extending throughout space indefinitely. So this is the true picture. So Earth is limited. You can travel through it. You can travel all around it. Now you can take a car and go all around the world. You put your car on the boat, and it will take you there. And you can drive your car any continent, in any town. We know because people are doing that. So this is a small truth down here. You are moving upward from the small truth to the big truth, to the whole truth. That is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Mustaqim is vertical, up, Sabila is horizontal. What does Allah say? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Did he say Mustaqim and stop? No, he said, "Afusiku fasabilillahi." Once again, "Afusiku fasabilillahi." translated, stand in the path of God or in the way of God. So here is mustaqim, vertical, up and going this way, horizontal, is the sabil. So the sabila is the path going horizontal with the surface of the earth. So mustaqim is vertical, up sabil is horizontal. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Did he say mustaqim and stop? No, he said anfusiku, this sabilahi. Translated, spend in the path of God or in the way of God. So here is the mustaqim, vertical, up and going this way, horizontal, is the sabil. Sabila is the path going horizontal with the surface of the earth. So this is the sabila. Horizontal establishment goes into the earth. The Quran says your life is as a plant. So this mustaqim must have roots down here in the earth like a plant. The picture of your life is the picture of a plant. That is what God says in the Quran, or the likeness of you, of your life, which means a picture is the likeness of the plant's life, or a parable. Man's life, human life, is the parable of a plant. So it goes into the earth. What goes down here? In the earth, the roots of this life are down in the earth. And what are those roots doing? They are getting food and water from the earth. And that's bringing in the earth, the beginning in the earth, manifests or projects itself upward and receive what was in the earth feeding and drinking to grow. And in the earth may be things that are of bad taste, and things that will actually make you sick. But the roots of this life will filter what is taken from the earth, and it draws only up into itself that which is healthy and good for itself. So the plant rejects what is bad for it, and it takes from the earth that which is good for it. And it even makes the water pure. It filters the water. So this is the path of mustaqim, down here in the earth, taking the best of the mineral without the filth, taking the best of the water without the pollution and without the bad taste. And it's feeding the body, and it is growing up straight. So mercy and tree limbs, it saves from being burdened. So the body won't throw a limb way out here that is heavy and big and throw one out there that is light to cause it not to be straight, bent over. It throws them out equally, symmetrically. In symmetry, balance, it throws a branch all out equally, so it keeps the strength, it keeps it straight. Keeping it balanced, straight, relieves the burden. We see mercy in here too. The path of mustaqim is a path of mercy and kindness. It doesn't want to burden the structure. So it balances so the structure is not unduly burdened and not bent out of shape. It keeps the straight mustaqim. So if we would be like this, you could teach from one little sign and you could give that as principle of your life. You are saved. There is enough in one picture to save your life. Mustaqim and the Sabil is cross of life. Crucify the body on opposite side. Every man has his own vine and fig tree. Taketh not his cross. So mustaqim on the horizontal bring man to one family. It is a path that finds its life on the Sabila, on the way that it is horizontal that connects us with other men and women, other friends and family, and other nations. The path that will eventually bring us to the one family on this earth, living and working together for the good of all. What do you see there? You see a cross. I don't want you getting a cross. That will tell me you don't see at all. So this is the true cross of light. The one that they claim that they crucified Jesus Christ on is the cross of death, the Seville of God, and the Mustaqim of human excellence, of human aspiration. So human ascension in the path of God, the bounties that he created to support our life and connect our life. So this is the cross of life. So anchor cross psychology of human life. Did Muslims have it before? No. The Egyptians had it before. The Jews had it. And the Christians had it before. We had it. Egyptians had it, and they called it the anchor, cross of life, but their knowledge was limited. Not as big as ours, but don't think that they didn't know how to make the connection with heaven. They studied the stars above. They made connections with the earth, sciences, and astronomy. They had all of that, the ancient Egyptians. They had the cross and the powerful psychology. They had much knowledge of psychology of human life and behavior. They had much of that science, and they could master their masses. So their masses was no problem for them. They could keep their masses in check. They knew how to keep their masses or their people in check. Anchor cross, psychology of human life. Did Muslims have it before? No. The Egyptians had it before, and the Jews had it, and the Christians had it before. When we had it, the Egyptians had it, and they called it the anchor, the cross of life. But their knowledge was limited, not as big as ours, but don't think that they didn't know how to make the connection with heaven. They studied the stars above. They made connections with the earth, sciences, and astronomy. They had all of that ancient Egyptians. They had to cross the powerful psychology. They had much knowledge of psychology of human life and the behavior. So they had much of that science, and they could master their masses. So their masses was no problem for them. They could keep their masses in check. They knew how to keep their masses or their public in check. Certainly it is a cross. Now, what does the Bible say of Jesus? He said, take up my cross. He did not say there was no other cross. He made it clear. There was a cross out there and a cross that I have. And he said, take on my cross. It is life. My burden on my cross is life. Meaning you are under a heavy cross. More correctly, you are under a double cross. And I want to give you my cross, the cross of life, the one cross, not a double cross, the cross of life. So double cross takes living humans and nail them to a dead structure. So they have a double cross. It takes a living human being and nail it to a dead structure. That cross they put him on was a dead structure, dead wood from a once living entity. It was once alive, now it's dead. So what is the death? Is the word void of the true spirit, void of the true life. It has been emptied of its true life. And now it gives to you as a dead thing, and then they fashion your life to that life, and you're drooped. You're dead. Not truly dead, but dead as the life God wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that he did not crucify him, pardon me, that they did not crucify him, and they neither killed him nor crucified him, but it was made to appear to them as such. So I was in the Vatican in Rome looking at the picture that Michelangelo grew of Jesus Christ in the crucifixion, and also one of him, arms of his mother after they had taken him down from the cross. And one of the ladies standing near to me, as I was looking at it, she said, do you notice that his body is not stiff? His body is limp. So if he had really been crucified and rigor mortis had set in, his body would have been stiff. So either Michelangelo knew or they instructed him. The wise in the religion said, Michael, now, this is not right. He has to be limp because rigor mortis has not yet set in. So the word is not dead. So cross, head drooped. Church leadership is not conscious. On the cross, his head drooped, and we think that it's his head. That is the head of the following, the church. The body of Christ, not the true prophet. That is the body of Christ, which is the church or his church following. Its head has drooped, meaning no more alive. So the senses are no more alive. The consciousness is no longer in the leadership. So the head drooped as though it is asleep. They saw when they crucified Peter, the leaders of the church, they didn't crucify him like they did Jesus. They crucified Jesus on a cross upright, and they crucified Peter upside down, the same cross but upside down. So why is the message given to us like that? He was crucified upside down, and Jesus crucified upright. Because the new disposition of his following under their leader who came after Jesus Christ was not what Jesus established. It was the opposite. And what was their problem? His head was up toward the heaven, up toward the universe. And the head of the new leadership is down toward the earth and the feet in the heaven. So balance up in the heavens and the feet means a lot. It means balance. But the feet also means small people. So the small people are put in the sky, and the new church leadership have their mouths, ears, tongues in the earth trying to get all they can get. And that is what they did for centuries. So this is history. Gnostic soul that has divine light in it. So this is what they did for centuries, collecting the wealth of the masses and kept the masses ignorant, wouldn't educate them and wouldn't free them. Were they that bad? No, they were that ignorant. They actually thought that their science that they had gotten by studying the teachings of Jesus Christ and the scripture that came before, that they thought that they had gotten the science to master the unruly public. And the unruly public are not the church, the children of God. And you did not have, they had divinity in them. That's Gnostic meaning. They are the people of the soul. The soul that has divine light in it. They thought themselves a superior creation to the others. And they were just like animals. Since they are like animals, they don't have the real thing. They said women didn't have a soul at one time. So this same leadership said only men had souls. Let us hear what you have to say against this corrupt world. Let us see you out there, out here, with your soul being expressed. Don't keep secrets in your soul that are against this world. Express those things that you are holding inside of yourself. Let it be heard out here so we will know you are a force with us advancing the Sibylla, the way of God. You can excuse anybody. Someone might say, oh, brother, I don't have a job. What can I give you? Give us your soul if you have nothing else. The world needs more than money. It needs your soul. The world needs more than physical interaction. It needs spiritual interaction. You have a soul that is good and that's good interact with this world. Come back to this world. Do what you have to do, but advance the way of God, whether you have money or not. If you have money, spend both. You guide us to our path. get you down from here. From earth, return to it, then resurrect it. So the plural of the sibyl is sibyl. And God gives us that knowledge too, that he has the way, but there is also many paths down here on this earth working. And he is the one who has guided mankind to all these other paths. So what are they? The path of the sciences, math, social studies, medicine, so many paths down here. The earth has evolved, the horizontal life. He evolved all of these many sciences. And we are taught through the pictures of faithful worshipers or servants of God to give him credit, saying, we would not have been able to achieve this had you not guided us. So this is to say that all of the path of man's productive life, the good life, we are to give God the credit because he is the one who created matter and designed it to evolve not only our flesh, but to evolve our senses and even our morality. You know that. So we look at the earth and say, the moral life, don't let it touch the earth. But the earth is what gave birth to your moral life. You might ask, how did that happen? He created us to interact with each other. So when we interact with each other, we can't tolerate the primitive behavior of each other. So living together evolved as human life. That is what is involved. If we don't come together, the civil life won't evolve civilization. So when we live together, we say, you used to live by yourself, your wife and your kids out in the woods by yourself, but now we are forming a town. Please don't belch like that at the table. Hold your wind until later or go to the washroom. See how living together is evolving us? So we are learning a higher moral life, a life on a higher moral plane, just by interacting and having engaging each other's life. So everything evolved. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, get you down from here into the earth where you will find the fulfillment of all your aspirations. Moral, social, and whatever, right down here living in the earth together. Salat position. Al-Islam is a spiritual revolution against the bad rulers. So from it you were taken, and from it you have to return, and from it you will have another resurrection. So we stand up in prayer. That is how we begin Quran. So the word of God, that is the life. That is how we begin reciting the turning towards our origin that represents the original nature God created for man. So we turn towards the Kaaba, Qibla, Allahu Akbar. And we stand here and we recite the words of God, not my words. I must recite the words of God. And the word of God will bend me down, make me submit. Make me praise him. When I go down, I say, God is the mighty, 3 times. What am I addressing? What is this sign addressing? Mighty kingdom, mighty government, mighty powers, control over man's life. Now God is freeing me from their control, and they are not mighty. He is mighty. I recognize him as more mighty than the nation. And the power that we have recorded in the history, then I come up saying, Sami Allahi la min hamida. Sami Allahu la min hamida. Means God has already heard whoever praises him. My bending didn't make him hear. Actually, the true Islam is a spiritual revolution against the bad rulers of the world. So that is what you have to understand. So this addresses bad nations, bad powers, those who claim might, And if you read the history of the rise of civilization, it had to rise against the mighty brutes. So nations who claim their focus, their will upon the masses, upon the majority of the, upon nations from the position of their might, their powers, their aims, their material wealth. So this is what we are addressing. You don't want to see al-Islam in this way. You are not with me then. God has raised me from a child, much younger than my son who is here, not to lack injustice, whether it is in the temple or outside. That is how I was raised. God raised me like that. Such the man brings material and science out of the earth. So Allah above those who have knowledge. So you go down to the floor and you make sajda. So you make one and you say, glory to my Lord, the Most High, three times. What is this addressing? Civilization first conquers in the name of physical strength and power, might, weapons, but then some science comes to them out of the earth and give them another superiority that puts them in a situation where the mighty nations of material strength could be defeated by them as though they were inferior in material might to those nations who had science and used it over the heads of the others. And they defeated those powerful, mighty nations. So Joshua is the throne of power. So this is the graduation for the rise of nations. Here they are, they go to the earth and get out of the sciences, and they sit on the throne, Joshua. So this is the throne of power. So they rise up and it sits on the throne, one, but you can't stop there. Knowledge is not what you should bow to, and that is not what you should set upon as your authority to rule. Not knowledge only. So you go down and you recognize that God has given us this science out of the earth, out of the material reality, and you say, glory to my Lord, the Most High. They stopped calling themselves the mighty. They start calling themselves the ulama. God says in the Quran, وَفُقُّ كُلِ دَاهِ لَمِنْ أَلَمُونَ. Once again, God says in the Quran, كُلِ دَاهِ أَلَمِنْ أَلَمِنْ أَلَمِنْ. Translated, above every knower is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-knowing. So he is the Most High. Knowledge, what they know, made them higher than the others. So now they are ruling because they are higher in knowledge, not because they are necessarily stronger in the physical mass or power, but because they have more knowledge. So they rise up from the Joshua and say, oh, Allah forgive us because we went wrong, even though we recognize you as the Most High. What we found made us blind to the truth, and we got absorbed in our own knowledge and forgot you. So we say, oh God, forgive us and have mercy on us. Salakallahu Zadim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Malad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. Inshallah only means that it pleases God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.